gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. When they had crossed over, they landed in Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces and they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Wendy. Let's just pause to pray. Lord God, thank you for this time together this morning, and in the midst of the busyness, may we hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's reading, we find we get something of a before and after shot of a key part of Jesus' ministry. It's very easy, isn't it, when we're reading the Gospels to focus on all of the big events, the miracles, the healings, perhaps the Sermon on the Mount, the crucifixion, the resurrection. But there's always a danger that we miss some of the important truths that are in the gaps, the befores and the afters. And this morning, we had there two snippets of scripture from Mark's Gospel, before and after some of the most mind-blowing miracles of Jesus' ministry. If you were looking in your pew Bibles, you'd see that between those two chunks of verses, you've got Jesus feeding the 5,000 with a small boy's picnic, and then you've got Jesus walking on water. But I want to focus on these before and after pieces, and just to be concise this morning, just want to do so in terms of three P's in terms of Jesus' life. Jesus' popularity should come up on the screen. His popularity, his priorities, and his power. Now, Mark has great powers of description. He's really good at painting a picture. And he writes with real urgency and busyness. And he tells us and shows us that at this point in the story, in Jesus' ministry, everyone seems to want a piece of Jesus. The disciples want a piece of him so that they can share with him all that they've been doing. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, those of you who are here, we looked at the disciples being sent out two by two into the surrounding villages. Being sent out on mission, they were told, don't take anything with you. Don't take a staff, don't take a cloak, don't take any money. You don't need all that, just trust in my provision. And they'd been amazed the way in which God had used them. They'd seen people healed, they'd seen demons driven out, and they were desperate to come back and report to Jesus all that had happened, to share their excitement with him. They were really pumped from their time with him. And that's like us, isn't it? When things go well, we want to share that with others. Those of us going to Tanzania, I imagine, that in a few weeks' time when we get back, when we've overcome our jet lag and our tiredness, that we'll be desperate to share with friends and family, with folks here, of all that God has done. The things we've learned, the things we've seen, the challenges, the experiences. There'll be so much to share. I imagine that the children who go back to Belarus in just 3 weeks' time, that they'll have lots of things to share with their friends and their families of their experiences in the UK. So Jesus has the disciples who want a piece of him, but also there are the crowds. Jesus is keen to spend time with his disciples. In fact, he says to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And so they head off across the lake in the boat to a quieter spot. But what they find is that the crowds are having none of it. And you can imagine the crowds tripping over one another as they hitch up their cloaks and race across the Galilean hillside to get a place near the shoreline where they can hear this man's teaching and maybe experience his powerful touch. And later on, in fact, in the second excerpt, so after the feeding of the 5,000 and walking on water, they're back on the other side of the lake, and again, the crowds are gathering, carrying the sick on mats to Jesus. And so we see Jesus as a really popular man. But what are they after? Are they after him for who he is, as the Son of God, or purely for a dramatic experience? And it's also striking, isn't it, that his popularity here is in stark contrast to his unpopularity with the people who mattered just a few short years later. But Mark gives us a glimpse of Jesus' popularity. And then he gives us a glimpse of Jesus' priorities. Because it seems to me that Jesus had a real sense of what was right for the moment. It is he who takes the initiative in suggesting that the disciples hop into a boat to get some space. It is he who decides that this precious quiet time should be interrupted by a period of teaching the crowds. And most importantly, it's he who ensures that his own time with his heavenly Father is protected. And there are two verses which are striking, one that was read to us, one that comes in the bit in between. Verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, if Mark's retelling is anything to go by, Jesus would have been pretty tired at this point. A really hectic schedule. Everyone wants a piece of him. But he recognizes a need before him, and he feels the Father's heart for the people in front of him and takes time for them. And he takes real time. It's not just a snatched exchange of pleasantries. He ministers to them in really powerful ways. Demonstration of his priority and his being in tune with his Father's heart. But as well as making that a priority, making time to meet the demands of people around him, we read later on in verse 46, after leaving them, that's the crowds and the disciples, he went up on a mountainside to pray. You see, Jesus knew that time alone with his Father was vital to his ministry. It was something that just couldn't be compromised. He could easily have charged around here, there, and everywhere, achieving great things, ministering to all sorts of people, and he did plenty of that. But he knew where his strength and authority came from, and he knew that he had to prioritize his relationship with his Father in prayer, in solitude, in reflection, in listening. Our prayer for Molly as she grows up is that she will come to love God and do great things for him. And within that, that she will love spending time with her Heavenly Father, being refreshed and being renewed. The Tanzania team will have a busy schedule, lots of new experiences, great excitement, heart-wrenching moments, lots of activity with FISH, the Street Children's Project, with NEMA, working with disabled folk, working with the diocese, downtime on safari. Those 3 weeks are just going to fly by, I'm sure. But actually, the time that we spend together in prayer and reflection will be key. The time we each spend alone with God will be vital to our effectiveness and our learning. On a personal note, I've got the privilege of these 3 months of sabbatical coming up. You won't see either Shelley or I here over these next few months. For me, Tanzania, training courses, family holidays, spot of decorating, maybe. I think Shelley will make sure that happens. Catching up with friends, walking in the Spanish mountains, guided retreat. All sounds great, doesn't it? It does feel like an absolute privilege. But the key to me coming back refreshed and reinvigorated will be time chewing the cud with my Father in heaven. I'll have a different routine, but I trust it'll be a routine that's rooted in the priority of prayer and reflection, heeding Jesus' call to his disciples. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And I very much appreciate your prayers in that. So, Jesus' popularity, Jesus' priorities, but also, just briefly, Jesus' power. Jesus' power seen in the great miracles of feeding the 5,000, walking on water, but also seen afterwards as well. And Mark energetically describes people desperate even to touch Jesus' cloak and of his healing power worked out in their lives. And so we see Jesus bringing transformation. He's done that in many of our lives here, hasn't he? The team will have a great opportunity to witness the transformation that God has brought about in many lives in Tanzania. I trust we'll also see that in our own lives as well. I started by saying that these verses present us with something of a before and after shot at a key phase of Jesus' ministry. When the Chernobyl children return to Belarus, I'm sure they'll be different than they were before. When we return from Tanzania, I expect we'll be different in many ways than we were before. I trust that my time sabbatical will bring me back different from how I was before. But it's not just the teams going out or coming in or me disappearing off on me jollies for a few months. It's about all of us, actually. Because all of us should have that before and after story. We should always be open to God doing new things in our lives, bringing his transformation. As we look to Jesus, like the crowds running to him, as we reflect and seek to take on board his priorities, and as we rely on his power to change us and sustain us. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest, says Jesus. I guess the key question I ask myself, our team, all of us this morning, over these coming months, will we run to him or will we run away from him? You're going to hear a little bit more about the trip to Tanzania now. We often have a slot in these services called TTT, This Time Tomorrow. And that was reflected in the song that Anita wrote. Well, today we're doing something slightly different. We're doing This Time Tuesday, TTT. So, Ben Prosser, come and join me. Where's the microphone, Joe? Thank you.